Cox Sound Fiscal County Sanitation District. This is Wednesday, September 21st, 2016.
Chairman Schultz?
Here.
Jim Hill?
Here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Would you all please stand and rise with us for the pledge of allegiance? Please hand over your heart and follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thank you. So at this point, we are going to review the order of the agenda that's presented. Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda?
Do you have your mic on, sir? Thank you.
I do now. Do any members want to change the order of the agenda? Okay. I would like to exercise the prerogative of the chair and discuss item 7B and 7C. I believe that everyone is aware of what these two items are, and I'd like to say that we all are elected, and we serve on this board trying to do the best for the ratepayers in our communities, and that it's important that we do this in a respectful and a professional manner. And I believe in the best interest of this district, it would be wise if we really stuck to that. And so if someone on this board is prepared to make a motion that we table these items, I'm prepared to second that motion. Okay. So we will take these items in the order as they are shown on the agenda. So let's move forward with the agenda as presented. This is an opportunity, let's move on to public comments. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to address the board for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this board. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. And tonight I wanted to speak to what's not on the agenda, in that I expected it to be here and don't find it. In particular, items 7B and 7C, there are no staff reports. How is the public to be informed without the benefit of whatever inspired these agenda items?
So, Julia, I don't mind to interrupt you, but since we are actually going to hear both of those items tonight, can I have you save those comments for when we get to those items?
No.
Excuse
no.
me? Okay.
I'm absolutely not. I'm speaking to what's not on the agenda.
It
there are
the,
no it, staff
the
reports.
The item is on the There's, agenda, Julie. The item is on the agenda. It's items
and
seven.
No. Correct. I saw that.
Okay, I would like
but
you.
But there are no staff
please
reports
make your comments
in
at
which
that time.
The public can be fully informed to be able to participate fully. So my point is there's no transparency in this district. Okay, and I will move
Very
on
good.
To the next topic.
Thank you.
That's also not on this agenda.
Okay.
My 3 minutes are not up, sir.
Julie, I didn't say your 3 minutes were up. I'm asking you out of respect. And
I'm over with that.
Okay,
I'm moving on to my next point.
Okay.
My next point is, where is a closed session? I have been to probably over 1,000 board meetings in the last 15 years. I have never been called by an investigator after a board meeting until last week. I was called by a man named Barry Ananag, who was asking me about the outburst of Mr. Huebner and the body language of Mr. Clemens. There is trouble in this community, in this district. Something's very wrong. When an investigator calls a member of the public to ask me what I saw at a board meeting that's televised, for heaven's sakes, something's wrong. And Your board clearly needs to talk about it. And the only way you can do that is in a closed session. Where is Mr. Clemens? I thought we made that clear some months ago that this community wants to hear from him. And he's not here tonight. That has me very concerned. There are other things happening in this district. You clearly have a rogue board member. But you also have an incomplete agenda packet. You have unpermitted development going on at the district. Staff is filing complaints. Board members are filing complaints. Something is very much awry here. And because you are elected and because you are serving this district, you need, I really believe, to get into closed session and hammer out the details of what the heck is going on. But you don't even have a placeholder for closed session. You didn't have one 2 weeks ago either, and this has been simmering for some time. I recommend that you get into closed session, roll up your sleeves, and figure out what's going on in this district. It is not the public. It's something internal.
Is there anyone else?
I'm also wondering where Mr. Clemens is. Patricia Price. I also got a call from an investigator. And I was very curious as to why. He told me the reason for his call. And he told me he had watched the tape of the meeting. And I was very curious as to why he called me if he'd watched the session on tape. So I watched the whole session on tape. And I was wondering why he was calling me. He was asking me if I had seen something. And that just seemed very, very strange to me. So that does say to me that there are problems. They need to be addressed. You've got a public that is watching very closely what's going on at these meetings. And we can see the tensions. I mean, I don't have to be too bright to see there's tension going on. And the district has started going in a direction that is really wonderful. I would like to see it to continue. And we've got good people working, very good people working. Mr. Clemens is a wonderful superintendent. He's made a real difference in this district. And I hope that everyone appreciates that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Price. Is there anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson from the city of Grover Beach, and on Saturday I had the privilege of attending the ACLU Constitution Day, and we heard from seven different San Luis Obispo lawyers, and number one of the Bill of Rights is our freedom to criticize government agency policies, procedures, programs, services, and acts or omissions of the legislative body to instruct our representatives and to petition government for redress of grievances. And so it's with that in mind that I'm addressing you this evening. On Wednesday of last week, just a week ago, Chair Scholz said that he had settled the lawsuit, the $1.1 million lawsuit based on the fine. And he said he'd done it because it was the smart thing to do and the right thing to do. And with that, I agree. However, it was the right thing to do. It was the smart thing to do in 2011 and 2012 when the Grover Beach City Council majority asked you to change out the person who was representing you and representing us there. It was the right thing to do in 2014, 2 years ago, when you took office. And when the people in this room came repeatedly and begged you, stop the lawsuit. We've spent $1.1 million on lawsuits. Stop it. So now, after we've blown through over $1 million in legal fees, now you've concluded that it's the right thing to do because half of the fine can be used for environmental issues. The thing is that it was always the case. That's standard operating procedure. It was the case when I was on the board. That was on the table. Half of it could go. It was the case when the hearing was held in 2012, and I have a copy of the transcript. They said, yes, half of it could go towards environmental procedures at the facilities So I think that it, I want to make sure that the public is aware and that it's on the record that this didn't get solved now because now is the right time. It didn't get solved because all of a sudden half of it could come back to us. It was always an option to do the smart thing and the right thing from 2011.
Very well. Is anyone else?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer, Arroyo Grande ratepayer. It wasn't that long ago that I got up and expressed my concern over the lack of Mr. Clemens' presence at these meetings. There was something wrong then. I thought we'd gotten past it. He's not here again tonight. I have a very bad feeling about that. The one consistent thing throughout all the trouble that we've had here at this district for the last couple years has been the performance of Mr. Clemens and his team. Listening to his reports are something that has educated us, brought a lot of us into knowing something about nothing, something we knew nothing about before. He stepped up at a time when we needed an interim. He performed that interim job admirably, in addition to performing his own regular duties. And I just think this is a terrible way to treat him after what he's done for us, the ratepayers, this district. And I think we're not serving him well, and I feel horribly about that. And I think somebody, I think you should too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer. Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close.
Mr. Chair, may I briefly respond to the comment?
Well, let me close this to the public first, okay? Okay. Director Hill.
I am very concerned hearing that investigators have contacted members of the public when I, as a board member, have not been informed from the district what is going on. I've heard rumors of complaints and grievances, and I expect as a board member to be informed when those types of events occur. And I want it to be known that that is my firm expectation here in the future, and I'm not happy that I have not been informed fully of what is going on here.
Okay, thank you for that. Also, Mr. Gearhart, Mr. Huebner, Mr. Clemens is not here this evening. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Mr. Clemens is in Las Vegas on a conference that the district is paying for. This was approved by me, by a request by him, many, many weeks ago. So he is at a training conference with another operator this entire week.
Very good. And I know it's that time of year when campaigns are running, and I'm just going to say the one thing regarding Mrs. Peterson's comments. She obviously mischaracterized what I said. I said basically there was a settlement that was negotiated. There was an agreement to pay the full amount. That basically the original plan that had been put forward and what it was asked for gave us no assurances that the money would be spent in this district. It was only after having multiple conversations, and not just myself, all Mr. Hill had conversations as well, but the truth of the matter is that the factors that lined up is when Mr. Gearhart actually was hired, given his relationships with folks at the Regional Water Quality Control Board, his experience with identifying projects that they would accept, and that is what led to us being able to reach settlement now rather than previously. If you want to verify that, I'm sure AGP would be more than happy to give you the tapes. So let's move forward and see if hopefully we can get through the rest of our agenda in a respectful and civil manner. Ms. Brown, I've closed the public comment.
I just want to mention that your legal staff should have told you neither of you should have spoken on things that weren't on the agenda, and you did.
Okay, thank you, sir. Very good. Let's move on to our consent agenda. This is item number 5. There are three items, 5A, 5B, and C. And do any board members want to pull any item from consent?
5B, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So we will take that one separately. Do any members of the public want to speak on items on the consent agenda, which basically 5A and 5C, correct? You had pulled 5B, correct?
Yes, please.
Very good.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I, too, would like to speak to 5B, but I'll take this opportunity to speak to 5A and that the minutes of September 7th, and it's a question I've raised several times, and I would ask, has anyone done this? And if not, when will you do it? And that is, compare the resume that I was given by Mr. Huebner to that the board was given in closed session when you went through the interview process. I'll be back for 5B.
Okay, very good. Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward or bring it back to the board, is there a motion on the consent agenda, which is items 5A and 5C?
I move to approve items 5A and 5C.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to item 5B. This is approval of warrants, and I believe Director Hill asked that this item be pulled. Jim?
I'm very concerned about the amount of our legal billing in this term, which is approximately $10,000 and seems to me to be exceptionally high. And again, with apparently things going on that I've not been fully informed of, I'm very concerned to see that and would expect to learn how those events relate to increased legal billing, probably double what I would consider reasonable.
Okay, very good. Board Member Lucy.
Considering all the work that the legal counsel has gone through, for months and months, I think that this is within reason, and I support this billing, as well as the beginning back to work with the policies and procedures. I'm glad to see that project is back up and moving forward.
Okay, very good. Let me open this to the public. Is there any member of the community I would like to address the item before the board?
Again, I'm Julie Tacker, and I, too, was concerned about the escalating legal bills with regard to your in-house counsels. But I recall several months ago when you questioned the Rickenbach invoice. I think it was $11,000, might have been $17,000. At that time, I thought we were pulling back on that contract and going to let ESA handle the permitting and the environmental work from the Kennedy Jenks. And tonight, Mr. Rickenbach has $7,800 on here. I was even surprised that he was presenting at your last board meeting. So I'm confused about the direction that I thought was given earlier, in that you were going to let ESA handle the environmental work on the redundancy project henceforth. The bathroom repair appears to have gone over budget. I recall that your budget was $10,000. It's not a lot of money, but when you have a contract for not to exceed, it shouldn't exceed. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was a $10,000 contract. I continue to have concerns with the advancing expenses on redundancy when you still don't have a permit.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it to the public, bring it back to the board. Is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I move that we accept the items as stated.
I'm going to second that. Any additional discussion on the motion? Yes.
Mr. Chair, I cannot support this item absent separation of the legal billing for further review.
Very good. Roll call.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to our next item. This is item 6, the District Administrator and Plant Superintendent's Report. Mr. Huebner, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chairman Schultz, directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. I'll be providing a verbal report. You do have the written, which was submitted as part of this agenda package today. Let's start with on page 1, looking at the Regional Board and District Settlement of the 2010 spill. As I mentioned before at our September meeting, we continue to work with board staff in finalizing that draft order. That draft order is attached to this report today. It is signed by both parties. It's been posted and noted on the Regional Board website for the next 30 days to meet their requirement under the National Pollutant Elimination System permit system. Our special counsel and the State Department of Justice attorneys also worked jointly together to file the necessary action with the Superior Court to extend the stipulated stay to November 30th, so that's not in jeopardy, and so that's some good news. Moving on to our project updates, staff, as you know, the board at your September 7th meeting approved the mitigated negative deck for this project. Staff is in process of filing the notice of determination with the county. We do need fees, which was part of the action that you saw with the warrants included. With those and a check, we can then submit those to the agencies for further processing. Moving down to our mechanical bar screen project. Again, September 7th board meeting was a big one. As you recall, we had big projects up for approval. A lot of work went into those, including the mechanical bar screen project. We continue to work with our engineer, MKN, to finalize with our contractor, the one that was awarded, to ensure that they have the proper insurance and bond requirements. In fact, I met with them today to move through with some of the requirements. With that, we'll then be able to move forward, hopefully next week, with a notice to proceed. Regarding our redundancy project, as again I mentioned, September 7th, this board approved the addendum to the 2010 mitigated negative declaration. That updated the project CEQA status. Subsequently, on September 9th, we transmitted that addendum and supplemental information that was requested by the Coastal Commission staff. So we made that a priority, knowing that the project is a priority for the district. So we submitted that. You have the cover letter attached to this item as attachment number 2. Moving on to financing for that project. As you know, I did travel to Sacramento, had a series of meetings. I provided that update to you at the last board meeting. I wanted to share with you the link to the report that did come out. So the insight that I did get from those meetings was verified with that. So you can look at the link in that report and essentially how the State Revolving Fund Loan Program is committed or overcommitted in certain categories. We're going to be working with our engineer firm MKN again to work out some financing options and look to bring something to you hopefully at the October 5th board meeting. Moving on to our district control building and office. This was mentioned at the last board meeting regarding our temporary construction trailer or our office space for admin staff. We've been working with Coastal Commission staff to do the permitting for that. We submitted an application yesterday to them. I had a conversation with them as well. They've been very amenable to helping us work through our permitting issues. I do want to raise, though, that it has raised other issues that potentially affect the district by that complaint that was made to county staff enforcement So we'll be working through that. It will require staff time and potentially district ratepayer money to work either through future or past permitting issues. And actually, lastly, I was going to mention the water reuse Central Coast chapter. There was a meeting to talk about progress on the draft regulations for drought direct potable reuse. I actually got word this afternoon that it's canceled. Nevertheless, I'm going to be following up those regs. I have additional ability to access that information, and we're going to watch the progress that the state is making towards not only recycle, but direct and indirect potable reuse. So with that, I'll conclude my presentation. You also have the superintendent's report and our plant data and some of the operation and maintenance projects listed before you. Thank you.
Mr. Huebner, you had mentioned other permitting items or whatnot out at the site. Do you know, is there a time frame of when some of these things occurred, or is that something you're still investigating?
Well, certainly, some of these could, preceded me. Let's just take, for example, the C-Train where we have our records. That arrived at the plant in 2013. Construction of other facilities there may or may not be exempt and may or may not have proper permitting. So all of that will likely need at least to have some type of review and evaluation.
Okay. So I think that's something that the board should talk about is let's get a thorough inventory of what is out there and identify corrective actions that can be taken. And I know we can't take any action tonight, but I think at the appropriate time tonight, we can, as a board, decide how we want to move forward.
It's certainly an indication of one event can trigger a domino of a number of effects.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions of staff? Jim?
Is there a reason that we didn't seek approval for that structure before it was brought on site?
I, Director Hill, I cannot answer that. There's nothing that's come to my attention why or whether the question was asked or perhaps the thought was that it was an industrial site and it was a proper use. Mm-hmm. Any of those things could have occurred.
Thank you. Okay.
Mary, any questions?
Yeah, I just have a couple follow-ups for you. Last time I had mentioned the SCADA system, we had had staff go for trainings, actually some distance away for those trainings. And so I was asking that we follow up with the board and give us an update on that. So if you could bring that back at the next one. And then I'd also like to follow up on the feasibility study for the reclamation scalping project. It's been tabled for over a year now. Can you, at the next meeting or maybe briefly, tell us where we're going with that? Because that the value of reclaiming that water is so important at this crucial point in this drought, considering that Lopez is going into LRRP for December. I mean, the time is of the essence. And not for all the communities in the area, but for our neighbors, it's of the essence. And so we can only be supportive and do what we can. And at this point, it is about piecemealing, but this is a extremely valuable, important piece to the quality of the ratepayers' lives.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mary.
Mr. Chair, one further comment, if I might.
Yes.
Perhaps the director is not informed that the scalping plant has been, the grant for that has been repurposed to a general wastewater recycling study throughout the area.
Yes, I am aware of that.
Okay. Very good. Let's see if there's any comments from the community on the director and superintendent's report.
Julie Tacker, and yes, your board did adopt the mitigated negative declaration, but you also gave staff direction to notice the neighbors, and I was curious if that's been done and when we could see what language was put in the notice. I would have thought it would have been an attachment. With regard to the C train and the 2013 placement there, that was under Mr. Karp's interim general managing. Then the reference to permits or projects that were done that maybe didn't have permits, I know I mentioned this to you. I know Mr. Rickenbach mentioned this to you, that your redundancy project could open this can of worms, and it's not the complaint that's opened the can of worms, it's the project. Okay. And my concern at the time that some projects, half a dozen, whatever it is, over the course of 10 or 12 years, that were approved at the county level and not approved by the Coastal Commission, my personal perspective on that, my personal opinion, is that those were favors to Mr. Wallace. Those approvals were given by the county to Mr. Wallace, and that they didn't forward those permits to the Coastal Commission. It is no surprise that that property is in the area of original jurisdiction. But even your consultants were trying to find out if it was in the appealable zone. There's no appealable zone. It's their zone. The area of original jurisdiction means they are the permitting authority, and that is who you knock on the door for a permit from. So your previous administrators did not know, and apparently your current administrator did not know, that he needed a permit to place these structures on the property. You cannot blame somebody's complaint today for a decade or more of unpermitted development on the site.
Thank you, Julie. Is there anyone else? See no one come forward. Let me close it and bring it back. And this is just a receive and file. And thank you for that report, Mr. Huebner. Okay, let's move down to our action items tonight. And this is, we're going to move to item 7A, which is an update on our district's public outreach initiative, including newsletter and website overhaul. Mr. Huebner, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Scholz, directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner again. This is item 7A. This is an update on our district's public outreach initiative, including newsletter and website overhaul. So I have a short presentation. Happy to, if you have any questions along the way, let's just jump right in. So, as you know, several initiatives were planned and budgeted in this fiscal year, including public outreach. We've initiated several public outreach efforts already, conducted presentations to various city councils, including each one of your directors of various bodies, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and others. We also began a website overhaul and development materials for distribution to the public, highlighting some of the district's activities and accomplishments. Some of the future public outreach efforts we plan to, and this was an outcome actually of your September 7th meeting, is development of a flyer for the redundancy project. So this is where we were looking to do something out to the immediate public right outside of the plant. So that's something that will be in the works shortly. Also, source control and pollution prevention materials, barring, looking what other agencies have done, we really don't have anything, but essentially we want to keep materials that are not proper to be in the collection system and get to the plant. We want to educate folks, residents, and industry on what's proper in terms of what gets down to our plant. And then other project and program brochures, questions and answer sheets, things that come up over time as we either develop projects or there's questions that we can provide, we have that ability to do that. I apologize for the legibility on this one. Typically, I don't do that small a font. So I'll read a little bit more than I typically would do, but probably aware our current website is inadequate for a variety of reasons, including readability, access, and ability to access past documents and posts, and ease of use. The website does not incorporate latest industry standards, features, website technology, program that would allow staff, the board, or the public, I believe, to fully utilize it as a public outreach tool. I did solicit several quotes from a variety of website designers, both locally and regionally, talked to several of them. Several of them provided demonstrations of what they could do. We ultimately selected Everywhere Right Incorporated. It's a local internet technology and website designer. They had a very competitive price. The price varied considerably. It is a local firm. They have a demonstrated ability to deliver the website overhaul in a reasonable amount of time. Also, another important feature that I learned is hosting and maintenance costs. So it's not just the one-time development. It's how you maintain it and what that costs. They also demonstrated an understanding of district needs. And so just highlighting one of their most successful recent efforts was the development of the DePomo Community Service District website. So far, the consultant has completed the discovery phase and initial screenshots. They're moving into the programming phase. The next will be migrating some of our existing content, so seeing what should migrate and which essentially is old and doesn't need, no longer need to. Of course, we will include past resolutions, documents, and reports. And tentatively, we heard that the website is scheduled to go live by the end of October. And so I would hope at some point we could do a demonstration for you, perhaps at the first meeting in November. So let's move on to our newsletter. So the last newsletter was published in 2013. It's posted on the website. The summer staff embarked on collecting information, data, materials for our newsletter. As you'll see, and this is attached to the item, we've included the spill settlement and details on the community supplemental projects, profile myself. Future editions can include staff or the board members. That's typical in a newsletter. We've included the district history and then some notable accomplishments. So we looked at the past board agendas, materials, milestones, and then solicited some staff input as well to come up with that list. That's a screenshot of the latest draft, just one page. And moving on, assuming that the board wishes to move forward with distribution of this fall 2000 newsletter, we have a couple ways we can go about that. One, we can print and distribute the newsletter to all the ratepayers in the district. We could do that through requesting our member agencies, the cities of Rio Grande, Grover, and Oceano Community Service District, that they include the newsletter through their utility bill. Alternatively, we could do a direct mail out ourselves, similar to the billing we just did for Oceana Community Service District with the assistance of an entity that would assist us. And of course, a third option, perhaps, is just to solely distribute or advertise it on our website. And in any case, in either of the two scenarios, we would have it on our website for folks to view. So today, we're seeking your input and feedback on this fall 2016 newsletter. And we request, after receiving this feedback, that we move forward with distributing it under one or more of the options listed above. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Huebner. Any questions of staff? Mary, any questions?
No, not this time.
Jim?
Have we looked at the cost of separately delivering this outside of the first and third option?
Yes, it would be a couple thousand dollars.
Thank you.
Okay, great, thank you. Do any members of the community have any comments on the item before the board?
Julie Tacker again, and I will send you my marked up copy. I made notes at home but forgot to bring those. There are some typos. The administrative items on the back page of the newsletter makes reference to resolving billing issues by placing delinquencies on the county tax roll. I think you need to clarify that, and that it is Oceano bills, because your neighboring communities are going to wonder where their responsibility is. There's no mention of the recent rate increase, and I think that is important. There are a lot of questions. When that rate increase came down, the billing question was still going on, and it was kind of burying, the controversy over the billing was burying the real meat and potatoes, and that is that the ratepayers are going to be paying in excess for over the next, whatever it is, 10 years. What I don't see is a whole lot of reference to your staff and how marvelous they are and how much work they've done. There is an introduction to your administrator. I'm not sure what date this was going to go out, but we're almost at 6 months. He's kind of not new now. So, but if it's new in that the last newsletter was 3 years old, you've got a whole lot of new staff in those same 3 years that you could also be introducing. So I just would like to see it expanded on that front and clarifications on the Oceano billing, and then you really do need to talk about the rate increase and what that means to the ratepayers. Lastly, the discussion, the lengthy discussion, 2 pages on the settlement. The settlement is only proposed at this point. Again, depending on when this goes out, there's still a comment period open. You might be, if this goes out tomorrow, you may invite the public to participate in that discussion. I personally will be participating in the comment period. One of the concerns I have is that much of the money is going to a program at the state that is for habitat restoration, studies, monitoring, and planning activities. So why isn't that money coming to Oceano, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande to work on habitat restoration, studies, monitoring, and planning activities? You have 2 disadvantaged communities in your district. It makes all the sense to me that you would argue that these disadvantaged communities should benefit from this very fine money. $554,906 goes a long way in a disadvantaged community, and I think even your board should comment on the settlement.
Thank you, Julie. We look forward to you making that comment. I think it's great. Please come forward.
Patricia Price, I wanted to suggest that you put a link on the website so that people could go to the video of the meetings. That would be very helpful. I've had a real bad time finding the meetings, and it could be in the newsletter and also on the website where people could just press the little button on the website and watch it. If people really want to know and can't make it to the meetings, that would be a really good opportunity to really know what goes on at these meetings. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Price.
Thank you.
Debbie Peterson, City of Grover Beach. Since the newsletter is raising the issue of the settlement, I do have a question. It was also reported in the Tribune by the chair that $220,000 of the settlement was going to the project in Pismo Beach, their sewer district reclamation project. And so I'm wondering how that comes about. Is that something that's been approved by our board? Is it something that's being dictated by the water board? How do we arrive at that? Because I might have missed a meeting, but I don't recall that it was ever something that was brought before the public or discussed at a board meeting.
Okay. Anyone else want to care to comment on the website and the newsletter? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Gerhard, thank you for this update. And I think folks have expressed a need to want more information, and I think this will certainly start to provide that, and that's through the website, through the newsletter. And I would say if there is any additional information or changes anyone in the community has, please make sure you forward those to the district administrator. I think this is part of what we've talked about, is trying to provide information that is timely and factual to the community. So thank you for bringing that forward. Okay. Okay, let's move on to item. The first item is 7B.
Excuse me, Mr.
Yes.
Chair, did we provide direction to the staff as requested?
Okay, very good. But someone want to? So, Gerhard, why don't you go over the recommendation?
Certainly. So we have the newsletter. We certainly have taken the input. There was certainly some edits that we will do, and we'll finalize. We're looking to finalize this in the next, let's say, 2 weeks, and get this out by the end of this month. I think our preference would be to utilize the cities and the Oceana Community Service District, approach them, say, approach them and see if they're amenable to including it with their billing statement. That makes sense from an efficiency cost standpoint versus us doing it ourselves. We would do the printing, which I think it's a reasonable cost, and include it in their billing. So that would, if you would ask me for an option, a preferred option, that would be our recommendation.
Okay. Jim, anything?
No, I think that I could support that recommendation.
Okay, then, so basically the staff would approach the member agencies and ask them to distribute as part of the billing. Very good. Director Lucy? Okay. Do we need a motion or direction? Good enough, legal counsel.
To a motion.
Good evening, Mr. Board Chair, Chair and board members. I would do a motion.
Okay. So someone want to make that motion, a formal motion?
I would move that we adopt the staff recommendation to investigate with the three jurisdictions on the distribution of the newsletter.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. We'll just do a roll call. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So I'm going to move that we take a quick 5-minute break.
Great.
So let's return at 6:52. That AGP video is ready to go. All right, very good. We're going to reconvene the board meeting, and we are going to move to item 7B. And before we, we're going to go to item 7B. This is a request by Director Hill to censure Director Lucy. I would ask legal counsel to respond to the question of why there is no staff report and anything else that you believe that is pertinent information for this body and the community.
Thank you, Chair Hill. I mean, Chair Schultz. This request was by individual board members pursuant to their authority under the bylaws. As you recall, the bylaws allow any individual director to add any item to the agenda. So this is not a staff-initiated agenda item. This was initiated by individual directors. I'd like to make a few remarks about censure in general. The government code does authorize local agencies to adopt censure provisions. This district has not adopted any provisions, so there is no censure procedure or provisions in our bylaws. So given that there's no direction there, I'll give you some general advice. Censure of board members involves due process rights. It's your liberty interest or your reputation. So before a board could take formal action to censure an individual board member by resolution, in order to avoid potential liability, the board member who is the subject of the censure should be allowed the opportunity to hear the charges against them and an opportunity to respond. That would normally be laid out in a process, since we do not have that process. If the board majority desires to censure a particular board member, direction should be given to staff to prepare a resolution of censure with the findings that the majority supports, and then give direction to staff to prepare that and bring it back at a future meeting for adoption. That, I believe, would give the board member who is the subject of the censure the opportunity to hear the charges brought against them and to respond before the board takes action. That would protect the board from any due process violation. Any motion would be should be made. It should be seconded and then voted on by the board. And that concludes my remarks. Be happy to answer any questions. In addition, any board member may provide documents or materials to support their censure request. The Brown Act does allow documents provided to a majority of the board. There are certain requirements that must be met, and one of them is that if you introduce documents to the board tonight, they must be made available for immediate inspection by the public pursuant to the Brown Act. That's also contained in our agenda on the first page at the very last sentence, which talks about documents submitted to the board after the agenda has been posted. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, legal counsel. Any questions on the guidance and the what's been presented by legal counsel? Okay, seeing none. This is item 7B, and I'm going to turn the floor over to Director Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The chair has asked for a couple of things that I think are quite important, and that is that we conduct ourselves in a respectful and professional manner. The chair has also made a comment on the last item that I consider very important, and that is that the district provide our residents, customers, and the public with information that is factual. With respect to that, Director Lucy has made a public posting on social media that I'll quote a portion of it. I sit on the South County Sanitation District Board. At the sewer plant, it is polarized and continues to spend millions on a poorly maintained plant. If you look at the affluent numbers coming out of the plant, you will see that the 3 million gallons are so dirty you can't use it. The Hatton 8 have worked tirelessly to fire yet another good qualified manager, number 3 and counting. Our plant is being held hostage. With Mayor Hill's advisor, Tacker, whose friend is the field supervisor, is running the plant into the ground. It has only created more harm to us and polluted our ocean past repair. The plant can't clean the water good enough to use it. Mr. Chair, if we do not have a procedure to censure a member, I would hope that the board would vote to repudiate the false information here. With respect to other comments, I think we can consider the source, but I'm disturbed that the Director Lucy takes issue with the staff in patently false claims. We've had to sit while Mr. Clemens has been attacked, his personal life has been commented, and I think that's beyond the pale, Mr. Chair, and I'm frankly quite tired of it.
Anything else? Okay. Director Lucy?
Where do I start? Well, I guess I'll start where the last straw for me was. And here I've made copies for those of you who are interested. This is an opinion piece that Mayor Jim Hill had published in Cal Coast News on June 30th, and I'll start off with, as a member of the South County Sanitation District Board, I'm committed to minimizing fairness in billing practices, and then he goes on. Now, as far as being factual, I could not agree with you more. You stated in here, recently OCSD arbitrarily increased the amount of their charge for billing services. Those increases were in place.
Mr. Chair, with due respect, I don't see the relevance of this.
Well, let her respond. I'm not going to go ahead and finish your comments.
Miss,
please let her finish. Thank you. Mary,
Mr. Hill attacked the staff of Oceana Community Services District. In fact, he listed Mr. Ogren in the title, Sanitation District Should Not Yield to Ogren's Outrageous Demands. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with you on factual statements. Recently, and I don't consider 2 years in the process recent, but the billing system and that amount had been in place for 2 years, long before Mr. Ogren ever came to the district. Mr. Hill, the board, and the current staff at that time were giving a cost analysis. Mr. Hill states in his article that general manager Pavel Ogren claims that the increase is reasonable because it represents half the cost of their utility. Now, Mr. Ogren flat did not say that. And in fact, I have the documents that he says, and it's not half of the cost. It is 25% of the cost. And if you would like that documentation, I have that with me as well. So as far as attacking staff, I agree. I think that staff should be off limits. But when you have the mayor of a membership organization doing opinion pieces online, not just posts, but opinion pieces about your community next door, when we are supposed to be a region working on these problems together, tearing down the neighbors, I don't think that is a very good practice. I actually think that that is extremely costly to the ratepayers. If we're going to get through these troubled times, we had best grasp the concept of region. You know, the lines between our towns don't just stop where our influences are, our families, our friends. We all cross over. We shop in each other's communities and stuff. So to see a piece like this where you have the mayor of a membering agency of the sanitation district attacking the general manager of a number of the other membership agency is flat right just unbelievable to me. And I think that that was the breaking point for me. And you can go back and look at the cost analysis that was provided by the fiscal managers. That was a board directive. And it clearly states right there, Oceano contributes 25%, not 50%. A couple other areas of concern have been, Mr. Hill has, I received a memo from Mr. Clemens August 17th stating that I must go through the proper channels to communicate with staff. And I'll accept that. Okay, but on August 26th, there's a memo from Mr. Hill to the acting general manager, Rick Sweet, who was an excellent, excellent administrator with 40 years experience under his belt, and I'll read it to you. Thank you for your effort this evening. Clearly, there was a different agenda going on in their meeting. Mr. Hill, the mayor of Arroyo Grande, had come to the Oceano Community Services District board meeting and had testified at the mic. And his testimony, I'm not even going to go into that, but it was inappropriate. Please send the draft agenda for review when it's prepared. I believe Mr. Nunnally's draft report should be ready for this coming meeting. I would also ask for an item to appoint Mr. Clemens as acting manager with appropriate upgrades. Now, this was not given to the board. This was bypassing the board. And what it did by not working in a collaborative effort is it put the Sand District in a very precarious position. Our policies and procedures do not cover when you have a domestic relationship between two employees. And I have been beyond polite, hoping that the HR professional consultant we have brought on would be able to write the policies and procedures to address these items. That person was told to cease and desist that activity. So, obviously, his comments to me of having to go through the proper channels when he was negotiating an increase in pay. My accusations in this of Ms. Tucker advising Mr. Hill, it always amazes me how people get pulled into this. But I'm going to read you a memo that is from Mr. Edwards, which Ms. Tucker has signed, dated September 1st. Now, when you run for public office, all bets are off. You have no privacy. So everything you do is in the public eye. And we all know that. Julie reminds us of that repeatedly, constantly. So when Mr. Clemens decided to run for office for the Oceana Community Services District, he put himself in the public eye, just like other candidates have put themselves in the public eye. So Mr. Clemens and Mr. Andrew Brunet, who is also another candidate for the Oceano Community Services District, received a memo from Ms. Tucker September 1st. This is an important information for you guys to have. This is the secret that will empty the reserves in a New York minute that Pavo doesn't talk to his board about. So not only has Ms. Tucker involved herself in staffing, she also has involved herself in most likely an FPPC violation, because you have two candidates, obviously, that are doing political work at a government-owned plant, and these were sent to the sanitation district. Two candidates, one working at the plant and one not. So, Mr. Hill, that is the issues. But I have one more that I think is the most disheartening besides attacking the general manager of Oceano, is that almost everybody but people who are in grammar school know that when you are in legal litigation with an entity, it is of utmost importance that you do not take it upon yourself and go meet with the people who are suing you, unless you have legal counsel, and it's been arranged through your legal counsel. Mr. Hill, without his board's blessing, without informing his board, without informing anybody, took it upon himself to go meet with the Regional Water Quality Control Board's chair and came back and informed in that his board that he had taken it upon himself to arbitrarily meet with the state with no legal representation. That put us all at risk, every single one of us at risk for more litigation, for more problems. And fortunately, Mr. Huebner was able to go in and negotiate some of that fine. But sometimes I wonder if we could have negotiated better had we not had that backdoor, non-transparent interaction. And with that, I'll close.
Wow.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in that there's been no defense to Ms. Lucy's comments on the plant superintendent, I would move that the board formally repudiate her remarks.
Do you want me to go into that too?
No, don't do that.
I'm trying not to.
So, legal counsel, this is an item on the agenda, and I need to give the public an opportunity to comment, correct? Or I want to make sure that I give people
yes,
an opportunity.
Yes, Chairman Schultz, the Brown Act requires before any action is taken on an item on the agenda, the public must be given the opportunity to comment either before or during the item, but not after.
Okay. Well, I think I made an attempt earlier to try and maintain some civility and respect. So we are here, and I'm certainly not going to be rough, but I'm going to ask people who would like to comment. And 3 minutes, and I'm going to follow the clock closely. So state your name for the record.
I have a point of order first. You have two agenda items. You have two different cases. I think you need to take one at a time, and I'd be willing to speak on both.
Was that your comment on the first, or hold on? Julie, why don't you come back and finish your comments on 7B?
I will have to speak to each item.
I understand. So I will give you a time. I'm giving you an opportunity now, and then I'm going to let others speak, and then you'll have an opportunity to come up again. So we're on item 7B.
7B.
That
so
is
everyone
correct.
Here, we're on 7B.
I think they all heard me.
Okay.
And okay.
Then you'll
so
it, again.
The clock is running. The clock is running on you, so please make your comments.
Fine.
Thank you.
I would like to speak to Mr. Hill's request, and first to say that the points of the posting that he points out are not as damning as the whole post. I think he was kind to Miss Lucy, and that she uses the word chaos and that he created chaos. She damns the public by calling, I'm sure I'm in there, the Hayden 8. She calls them names. I don't know where you get the idea that I'm an advisor. I'm happy to share information with anyone who would like to read it. But I'm not going to talk about what you've said. I'll be back for that. But she says in her posting that the mayor has created this disaster. You can see the violations online. Within the past 6 months, there have been two more reportable actions. The city of AG deserved to know what is the status of this plant? ? AG needs to replace your board member. Ms. Lucy also blames me for the chaos at the sanitation district. Again, I found someone else. See, she's blocked me from Facebook, so I don't see these when they come up on the internet. I get someone, a friend, sends them to me. So she says, I create the chaos. What she's done is created chaos. She has not been the formal appointee and been seated but for the last 4.5 months that she's been at pretty much every single meeting. The flip and flop between Guerrero and Lucy for the last 2 years has caused chaos, has caused expenditures in the district. And so I'm in agreement with Mr. Hill that she should be censured for her damning words as they relate to the superintendent. I think you have no business going into his personal life. I think you have no business meddling in his work, which you do.
Julie, time
yes?
is up.
Oh, my time is up. Well, good. I'll be back for the other one.
Very
Thanks
good.
So much.
Thank you.
I have handouts.
Oh, thanks. I was trying to print this.
Anybody else would like to come? You guys can pass them out.
My name is Julie London. I am a ratepayer from Arroyo Grande. And this thing sticks in your face. First of all, I wanted to quote off of the tonight's agenda. It states that the public is not allowed to be slanderous, profane, or make personal remarks against any board member. I would hope that that attitude would carry over into public printing. Another thing that I've learned as a parent, and I guess I don't know if you have kids, if you have an issue with something with your teacher, you don't go to the principal first.
You like that?
You go to the teacher and work this out. When you had concerns about Mr. Hill's comments, why didn't you go to Mr. Hill and talk to him about it? Why did you have to do what you did publicly? So my comments are, Miss Lucy continues to post negative comments about other directors on the board. Since she has blocked me from reading her posts, I am unable to report back on many of them. I have made copies of the some that I could find that gives some idea to the of her rants. I will give that to the lawyer at the end. What I gave you tonight is a full copy of that page that printed first as a guest commentary to Aaron Oaks' slanderous site, and then it was posted on Richard Waller for Mayor's page. The last page of what I gave you is response from my husband, who is out of town, so we wrote it up, and I'm giving it to you. That was posted to rebuttal Miss Lucy's comments on Waller's site, and Waller took it down saying it wasn't very friendly and that it had nothing to do with being a mayor. But he left hers up. I felt that was wrong. She also continues to make degrading comments on ratepayers, even having come up with the name the Hayton Eight. I assume because I go to council meetings, I'm considered one of those Hayton Eight. Calling me names? Grow up. I believe that as a ratepayer, our opinions are allowed to be heard. She posts false statements about the sanitation district, other directors, and staff. And for that, I gave you a copy. She does this with the intent to incite. I'm offended as a ratepayer that we are being intimidated to not participate in the process. I believe her actions are inexcusable, and I hope that this board takes some action to stop her behavior. What I have here are randomly picked off of Facebook and other sites that I'm going to give to the lawyer that are more pages of her, in my opinion, slanderous comments.
Thank you, Ms. London. Time. Is there anyone else? Anyone else?
Pat Dempsey in Arroyo Grande, and I've read some of these posts on social media, and they're obviously an attempt to tamper with Arroyo Grande's election. I mean, all these posts, they end up on Waller's website. So I'd like to speak to the people of Arroyo Grande and tell you that Mr. Hill, and with the help of Debbie Peterson, helped flush out all that Wallace waste and abuse, and he saved us $1 million a year in rate, in our rates and what we were paying. Now, I'd like to speak to the people of Oceano. What are you doing with this woman, Mary Lucy, representing you? Get rid of her. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson from the city of Grover Beach, and I would not want to stop any of you from using your First Amendment rights. However, I think that there's some rules, guidelines, laws that as directors it's really important to observe. One is that you do not libel staff. You never libel staff, and you certainly don't bring up staff staff issues, their personal lives, or their performance in public posts. That's libelous, and it's as a director, it's unconscionable. I also hope that the board would correct any unfactual statements. Certainly that the plant is poorly maintained is far from the truth and is a terrible insult to the nine staff members who work very, very hard and do very well in maintaining it. Hatton 8, I would say that as a director, it's inappropriate to be calling the public names. We were all called, many of us were called racists a while back, and of those called racists, my personal knowledge is that I don't know any of those who were called that name that who are. I would also think, I'm hoping that the board will address the issue that, or the statement that the ocean has been polluted past repair and that our plant is being run into the ground by our superintendent. Our ocean hasn't been polluted beyond repair by this plant. And in fact, our numbers back in 2013-14 when our current superintendent joined us were better than they'd been since the year 2000. And I can tell you that surf riders are happy with where we are, and the water board is happy with where we are. So that is not a factual statement. That our plant is being run into the ground is also not a factual statement. It's being run more efficiently than it's been run in many, many, many years. So I would also ask if, and I agree, if it's an inappropriate practice to tear down neighboring elected officials, why did you do it too? Why did you respond in that manner? And finally, I would point out that while I personally would question and might not, probably wouldn't do it, for Mayor Hill to make comment about a CEO is quite different than for a board member of this agency to make comment about a superintendent. One is a staff member, the other is almost a quasi-public figure as the CEO of the agency. And again, I would remind you, Ms. Lucy, not to make slanderous or libelous statements, and not to speak about members of staff. And you did it again this evening when you brought up relationships when you spoke this evening. So I'm hoping that would not continue. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you for your comment.
Ron Arnoldson, Grover Beach. I want to ditto everything that Debbie said. I think she put it very distinctly. One of the things I wanted to say is a couple months ago, Ms. Lucy told me I was hateful because I made one comment. She's the queen of hate and poison with many comments today.
Is there anyone else?
Nancy McNeil Oceano. Does this district have a code of ethics for the board? And has any of those rules been violated? I mean, I don't really understand what the violation is, other than, like, oh, you're picking on our poor staff. Well, that particular staff member is quasi public official. He's running for office. That means anybody can say anything about him, including his personal life. So that's irrelevant that he's staff. He's running for public office. So I don't think that this conduct in particular warrants public censure. I mean, you know, you're going to censure her, she's going to censure you. Talk about creating chaos and wasting time. I mean, let's, like, move forward and get the sanitation district business done. Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. No calling names. Every single person who's come to this mic has called Mary a name. So if, in terms of being civil, maybe you all ought to check your own selves.
Is there anyone else? Please, everyone. I'm sorry.
My name is Carol Henson, and I'm before the board today because I'm greatly concerned about the tone of the disintegration that is occurring between the, seems that the, you know, the personal lives of people are being, you know, it seems to be being attacked, and such venomous vitriol that's being printed in our different publications throughout the county is shameful. I am here today, though, however, because I have been mentioned in Miss Lucy's communications to the world at large. And it's true that there was a short time, actually, over 2 years, that I involved myself with the Sand District and with Oceano. And I did, Mary Lucy has made a comment in, on here, the reason why I left abruptly that community. And it was not, absolutely was, with much regret. However, it was not Jim Hill in any way that influenced me. It was Mary Lucy's intimidating it was pretty scary. And I left to keep myself intact, and I knew that there was retaliation down the pipe. Thank God that there are minutes, and thank God there is video representations of all of the meetings, so that if anyone wants to set the record straight, they can go back and view some of the behaviors of Director Lucy and her obvious hatred of Mr. Hill for whatever personal reason she has. But I will not be a part of that, and I do not want my name used in a way that would advance her agenda. The second reason I'm here is because I've been very, very pleased with the way the Sand District has gone, and with the management, the savings to the ratepayers, and the obvious improvements that have occurred over the last year. However, as a ratepayer, you know, I have to say that I'm concerned about, you know, all of our rates going up and the different reasons for the rate increases, which going back years, you know, seem to morph into other things. However, after the last meeting, I felt moved to come down here to involve myself with my community as much as I could. I have limitations with my health. I came down here, and after that last meeting, I was here and attended. I had a detective call me on the phone, and I was asked questions about the meeting that I was here and about the nuances that occurred within this meeting. And I'm wondering, why is a detective calling me? Is there some legal action? Is there something going on that the public should know about that we haven't been told about? Yeah. And I'm asking the board, can you please give me that information? I think as a ratepayer and a member of this community, we need to know.
Okay, we've captured that. I need to let others have an opportunity to speak, but thank you
very much for the board's time. I appreciate it. And I hope this, I'm very pleased that Mary Lucy is finally deciding to take time to contribute her energies to her own life instead of trying to destroy other people's in the community.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hattie Welsh, one of the hating eight of Arroyo Grande. I'm considered a hating eight because I'm active in my community. Something's wrong there. There's just something wrong. I, too, am thankful that we've stopped a lawsuit. We're using less chlorine. Mr. Clemens is doing a fabulous job. I've stood at the podium many times thanking the man for that. I like the way things are going. I am a ratepayer. I have as much right to be here and to speak as anybody else in this room. I don't believe I've called you names, but you feel free to call me names. And I will say, if I have called you a name, I will publicly apologize. I'm woman enough to say, I'm sorry, I will not have it happen again. But all this other hatred, it really needs to stop. It's not doing any of us any good. And there does seem to be a dislike from one board member to another, and that needs to really be resolved. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I think at this point we've got a couple separate things going on here. One is about general tenor of related to political viewpoints, and the other is related to the specifics of, is there a violation that requires censure for activities? And the only thing I can see that probably the district should be involved in as a district is the question of whether or not Ms. Lucy has exceeded her boundaries in her criticisms of Mr. Clemens. And that, I think, my opinion is, from what I've seen, yes. However, that seems to be the real issue that needs to be addressed tonight. The others, unfortunately, happen. I don't like it, but that seems to be what politics is about these days, and it's regrettable that it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt.
Thank you, Mr. Holt.
Is there anyone else?
Andrew Brunet, Oceano CSD candidate. I had no idea my name was going to be brought up this evening. But first of all, I would like to say that there really was no rebuttal from Director Lucy from the censure that Director Hill had stated. So just clarifying that. And to Miss Lucy's point about this memo that she's referring to, which is an email, and which I'll repeat again, this is important information for you guys to have. This is the secret that will empty the reserves in a New York minute that Pavo doesn't talk to this board about. See attached. That is about the Oceano Drainage Project that, from my knowledge, has not been directly budgeted for and needs to really be considered going forward. So, yes, probably going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars and needs to be taken care of now. Thank you.
Good evening, April of the Five Cities. A statement was made. A statement was made out to the public. It caused injury, and it was false. Parts of it were false. Parts of it were opinion, which is allowed, but parts of it were factually false. And I really do hope that Oceano, or I'm sorry, the Sand District will take the opportunity.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, everyone, please.
Don't let that count to my 3 minutes.
No.
I'm not going to need them. So I really respectfully request that the Sand District really takes into account Mr. Hill's concern. That is his reputation based on falsities, on non-facts, on things that can be proven inaccurate. The plant is not being run into the ground. If the plant is being run into the ground, what are you three doing? That's your job. So how can that factually be true and yet you're still doing your position? That can't be factually true. That the ocean is ruined because of the Sand District, then why are we trying desal? That again makes no sense whatsoever. How is that factually accurate? So I just respectfully request that you censure her on factually inaccurate issues. Her opinion matters nothing because it's based in crazy town. But the facts are the facts. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Crazy.
Beatrice Spencer, Arroyo Grande. I have problems with this on a lot of different levels. Number one is just the harm that this does to the employees of the district. I realize that you are the board, that there is a person in between, but right below that, you have 9 employees that I think are good employees who go to work every day to do what they can to make this plant operate efficiently and effectively. And what I read in here from Miss Lucy is just undermining that one sentence at a time. The problem with her her guest column is that the first line is even inaccurate. It states that the residents have paid consequences for Hill's inept leadership since 2006. He started in 04. And then it goes on. I mean, if you listen to the verbiage in here, left the district in shambles, sought to dismantle and bankrupt the district, efforts to bankrupt the district, creating a hostile workplace, created chaos, falsely accused staffers of embezzlement. I mean, it's just, granted, these are her opinions, but she purports to use facts, which aren't facts at all. Even in Mr. Huebner's presentation earlier, he talked about listing on the new website the accomplishments of the plant. How do you draw any accomplishments out of something that comes with this? These employees are doing a great job. Every 2 weeks for almost 2 years, I've sat here and I've listened to Mr. Clemens give his staff reports. He and his team are so proud of the numbers that they put out from this plant that it's really... I can't even in any good conscience understand how you can allow her to shame them like that. They deserve better, and you are their protectors. If you allow this to go on, you have completely demoralized your employees, the very people we rely on every day. It's unfair. And you're asking for trouble if you don't do something to buffer those people from her and her words. And now this has gone out. I mean, there are people pushing this out over the internet. If they're not watching this, if they haven't attended these meetings, they have no idea that what's in here is factually inaccurate. You have a right, you have a responsibility to put out accurate and true information to the best of your knowledge. This is not that, and you need to find a way to stop it. One other point that I wanted to make.
Ms. Spencer, I need you to wrap
up. I'm sorry.
No, I understand. You can wrap. No, there's no yielding time. I'm going to let her wrap. I'm going to let you wrap.
Thank you so much.
Please.
I just
one sec. I'm going to give you more time. Look, I understand. This is obviously, I tried to make a motion earlier, and I'm going to let people have their say, but please let them finish, and please, if we can't do that in a civil manner, I know everybody's impassioned and whatnot, I'll have no choice but to recess this meeting and figure out a more civil way to finish this. So, Ms. Spencer,
thank you very much, Chair. My closing point was just this, that the point was made earlier that because someone is running for a public office, their private life and everything is fair game. But we who have attended these meetings since Mayor Hill was elected have known that the harassment of specifically one and two employees has been happening over the course of a matter of 2 years. It's not something that just happened when he decided to run for public office. So thank you very much for allowing me the extra time. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask that you clarify that she was speaking of issues of OCSD and not the sanitation district. The document that she used was a critique of the Oceana Community Services District for 2006, not the sanitation district.
Duly noted. Please state your name for the record, please.
Leanne Akins. I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande and a ratepayer. I realize that this isn't a court of law, but I'm going to throw out a couple legal definitions anyway. So public officials are obviously open to more discussion about them and their activities than people who are not out in the public, but that doesn't mean that slanderous speech and libelous speech are okay. The definition of actual malice in the United States law is a condition required to establish libel against public officials or public figures and is defined as knowledge that the information was false or that it was published with reckless disregard of whether it was false or not. I think that we have an issue of reckless disregard, and that concerns me. I'm out there running as a candidate as well. it's hurtful when people say things about you as an individual, even though you're a public figure. There is law, there is case law that establishes that certain actions and certain speech against public officials are not okay. And I just think that we need to realize that and take that under advisement during this meeting. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Everyone just take a deep breath. Legal counsel, I didn't know if there was anything you wanted to maybe repeat regarding, it sounds like you're saying we do not have the provisions or procedures for censure, correct? And I want to know if there's anything that's been said here tonight on a legal front that needs some clarification.
Board of Directors, that's true that there are no rules governing the process of censuring another board member. I have nothing further to add to the discussion. I do believe that Director Hill has a motion on the floor to repudiate, I believe that's the word it was used, repudiate Director Lucy. And that motion is still pending.
Okay. Jim, when you say repudiate, what do you mean?
Ms. Lucy has made completely inaccurate statements being represented as fact regarding Mr. Clemens, and that's very concerning to me. And I believe that we've seen this time and again in meetings, including reference that Mr. Clemens somehow caused an E. coli outbreak and various other things. I think it's time that the board just simply repudiates those comments because they are inaccurate and damaging.
Can I get to respond?
Yes, would you?
Sure. Well, first of all, I have to say, I've never called anybody Hate Nate, and if you identify that way, that really is entirely up to you. But I didn't name anybody's names. Yes, I use the term Hate Nate. If you want to identify that way, that is entirely up to you. I hold Mr. Hill to the same standards as he holds me to. So when he does a public opinion piece about staff slandering Mr. Pavel Ogren, who has over 35 years experience, suggesting misleading, inaccurate, and then you have other candidates who use that in their campaign speeches, theft, things like that, is simply not true. Now let's talk about the numbers. Okay, Mr. Clemens is not solely responsible for a 60-year-old plant or a 40-year-old plant. He can't. The plant is old. It's dirty. The filters are full. They got a redundancy project going. They're going to try to fix some of that. But to simplify it for the rest of the world out there, go to Pismo Beach. Look at their plant. Look at their water. Come over. Look at our plant. Look at the water. It is night and day. It almost looks like you could drink their water.
Everyone.
Over here, I don't even want to tell you how it looks. Do I think that Mr. Clemens is solely responsible for that when he was a plant supervisor and not a candidate for office? No, I don't think he is. Where I think the damage occurred is when Director Hill facilitated Mr. Clemens going into an administrative position. That is not his strength. His strength is in the field. You compromise the field by putting him in an administrative role. And if you want, you can go back and you can look at your numbers. Excuse me, ma'am.
So, Mary, no, please, no. So, Mary, I need you to wrap.
Let's let's look at your numbers. And they are online. You know, and I believe that the man is doing what he can to piecemeal it. I do. Do I think he was a good administrator? He's not experienced in that division. He's experienced in the
police,
field.
So the
fecal coli
come on,
is
Mary.
Double.
Come on, Mary.
We were going to talk about the numbers, right?
Okay.
Can you not tell how your plant is running based on his reports?
So,
his numbers,
let's do that.
We have two violations that he's reported to the state, okay? The fecal coli, which you can call E. coli or whatever, the point being is it's a very dangerous thing, is double, and it continues on and it continues on, and there's a reason for it.
So, Mary, let's...
Obviously, you don't really care.
Let's do this. There's information that's been presented, and I do intend to ask staff to correct misinformation as much as we can. I don't know if tonight, but in the future. There is a motion on the floor. Is there a second? Okay. The motion dies from lack of a second. I would like to give staff some direction, and I believe the direction is this. There have been claims made about how the plant operates, about the condition of the ocean, and anything else that's been captured. We don't have time to go through all of them, and I'm asking that we come back and clarify misinformation, which is what we try to do. So with that, we're going to move on. Item 7C.
And Mr. Schultz, for the sake of the public and legal fees and stuff, I'm going to withdraw my censure of Mr. Hill.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Please. I understand. If you will just let me go through the proceedings, maybe your question will be answered in advance. I'm going to second her motion. Can I do that, and then I do want to hear from the public, legal counsel, because I did tell them that I will allow them to comment on this item. Now, hold on. We're not going to take a vote, but I wanted to get legal advice.
All right. So Director Lucy has made a motion to withdraw item 7C. The chair has seconded it. And the question is, does the public have the right to comment on a withdrawn item?
That is correct.
Okay, so under the Brown Act, if the item's been tabled, then there is no requirement for a public comment.
Okay, but I would like to give the public an opportunity to comment. Is that legally defensible?
Yes, that is.
Very good.
Fine.
That's okay. I am actually going to let people speak. I told you I was going to let you speak. You saw the motion I tried to make at the start of this meeting, so we're all going to listen to this. And with that, let me open this up to the community. 3 minutes, Ms. Tacker.
Again, I have a point of order in that Ms. Lucy kept her papers for the public at the dais, and we haven't seen the documentation.
Okay.
So I'd like to have that before I actually make my comment.
Okay, then let someone else come up to the podium. Is there someone else that would like to?
And let me give you one
okay.
more packet.
Julie London, Arroyo Grande ratepayer. My husband was called out of town for a family emergency, but he's watching this streamlined. Mm-hmm. He just let me know that Miss Lucy just called April crazy. This was at 7:38. It was under her voice. The mic is open, and she whispered under her breath.
Yes.
Come on. Grow up.
I did not call her crazy.
Okay, hold on.
Well, the other person called me crazy.
Come on, Mary, let's let them finish. Let's get everyone, please.
Okay.
Whether we like what's being said, whether we agree with what's being said, we live in a country in which people are free. We're going to let you express your opinions and your concerns, please.
Linda Austin, Miss Lucy was responding when April McLaughlin said she was from Crazy Town, and then she said, "Oh, crazy." She was just that was what happened.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Carol Henson. I have to take exception with Director Lucy's accumulation of facts, because basically the most I ever hear from Director Lucy at the meetings is why she has come to the meetings unprepared and makes excuses for herself. So to be able to speak to this matter the way she does, her credibility and her record speak for itself.
Is there anyone else?
Just a few points, some more points on facts. I wanted to talk a little bit about the comments by the speaker who said that it's okay to criticize the plant superintendent, who is an employee of the plant, because he is running for office. Okay to criticize him in his campaign running for office, not okay. Not okay under any circumstances. And the board's on very, very, very shaky ground right now because one of your directors is choosing, and it happened a third time tonight, even after warnings, is choosing to criticize an employee. There's a big difference between a director publicly libeling or slandering an employee or even criticizing an employee. These are human relations issues. And someone making comment that's political comment about that about that individual in their political situation. So I think we need to draw that line. It's a very clear line in the sand. And the final thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is that I wanted to say how much I appreciate Director Hill's restraint. He didn't come in and say, "You were mean to me." He certainly could have done. Instead, he came in and said, "What's been said about staff and what's been said about this plant is inappropriate and inaccurate." And I think that he is absolutely within his responsibility as a director to make those comments when they are his opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Is there anyone
else?
Thank
you for your comment.
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. There is such a double standard in this room all the time. Oh, these poor people are so intimidated by one of your board members. Well, I've had lots of friends attempt to come to these meetings and attempt to make public comment, only to be ridiculed, like in print, not social media, on an online newspaper, ridiculing the public for testifying in front of the board because maybe they don't know all the facts. Maybe they come to learn the facts. You know, maybe they don't spend their life looking up stuff on the internet so that they can dominate the podium at every public meeting in the county. You know, but they do want to come and they do want to learn and they do want to comment. But they don't because they're intimidated by the regular commenters, the professional commenters. So that, you know, that's a double standard there. And then there's another double standard. You're not allowed to talk about staff, but you can get up here and say how great they are and how they walk on water and how they, you know, they do such a great job. Well, that's talking about staff, you know, and that's a one-sided thing. So you can either talk about them or you can't. You know, is it just you can only say nice things about them? Is that the rule? What are the rules? You guys don't have a code of ethics. You don't have policies and procedures. There's no guidelines to go by. There's no guidelines for us to go by. And, you know, you can just, like, arbitrarily change the rules whenever you want. And it's confusing to folks. So that's all I have to say is, like, stop the double standard stuff.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else?
Can you ask him for the chatter to stay a little low in the back?
Come on, Julie.
I have a question. I didn't
know. No, the concern is that there's chatter in the back, and it's hard to hear. If everyone can hold it in, that'd be great.
Okay. I'm Julie Tacker. And Ms. Lucy cites three documents. June of 2015, she was not on the board. Not the regular. She was the alternate. She was called the regular, but she served as an alternate. The other is a August of 15 to Rick Sweet from Mr. Hill, who is exactly this one staff member you are supposed to talk to. He didn't send it to Mr. Clemens. He sent it to the administrator. And that he does recommend appointing Mr. Clemens because you had no process in place for replacing Mr. Sweet, who had a deadline of September 12th. He was going to be gone. So in less than a month, he would be gone, and you needed a temporary administrator. Mr. Clemens stepped into that role and served for about 8 months for $800 a month and carried on his own duties. You got a bargain. The other document that she points to, and Mr. Brunet read it aloud to you, it was about the Oceano Drainage Project, and I meant to send this to Mr. Clemens' home email. Apparently, it went to his work email. There's only one person who could have seen this email. It's the administrator of the district could see Mr. Clemens' email from me. I'm going to show you this. The top of this piece of paper has been cut off. And that is the banner in which the email came from and went to. There is no other place it could have come from or gone to, but from that man to that lady. If it's someone else, speak up.
Julian, so to wrap up,
if you want to talk about giving staff direction and morale, this staff member should not be working on Mr. Clemens' record. This staff member has something out for Mr. Clemens. There's something not right between that relationship of these two men, and that is apparent from an investigator calling me and two other people here, and then how this has been handled. There's no other. Who is screening Mr. Clemens' email?
Julie, I need you to wrap up. That's.
Ms. Lucy suggests that Mr. Hill went to the water board without the authority, without the blessing of the board. He didn't need you. He doesn't need you to do what he did. And thank God he did it. Because what he found led to the finality of Mr. Seitz leaving this district. There was a guise of conflict of interest.
Okay,
but
Julie.
The fact is, the man was misrepresenting you, and it was costing you a lot of money. Ms. Lucy has misused position.
I've given you extra time. I need you
right,
to stop.
Because your process is pretty screwed up, John. But I will have to say, Ms. Lucy has misused her position as a board member.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
The more I sit here, the more questions I have. When Director Lucy was upset and stating publicly, which I think is probably a breath of fresh air to hear it come out of her mouth, that she was not happy with Mr. Clemens being appointed as interim, was that not voted on by your board? That's my first question.
Okay.
My second question is, we seem to be having the same fecal coli / E. coli confusion that we had several months ago when all of us in the audience were puzzled over E. coli. I mean, to me, that's a meat problem, a food problem. And fecal coli, I don't believe, is anything even close to E. coli, so I would like some sort of an explanation so that maybe we're all on the same page about what's actually in those reports.
Very good. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close this to the public, and we are back. There is a motion on the floor and a second, and how about a roll call? Do we Gil, do we need a vote on this? There was a motion and a second.
Yes, please do a roll call vote.
Mary, would you restate the motion, please? Or have you written down the motion?
Motion was made by Director Lucy to withdraw item C. The second was made by Chairman Schultz.
Okay.
Roll call vote.
Roll call, please.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Abstain.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to see if there's interest from my board colleagues. There's been a lot of troubling statements and information made tonight. Obviously trying to get through what is factual and what is not, what is opinion is not something we can do this evening. It is pretty clear that we need a code of conduct. There is a code of ethics that typically elected officials take. We need to restate that. And then I do believe when legal counsel says that we do not have censure provisions or procedures, we need to put some in place. And I'm hoping that the board members would join me in giving that direction. I think the other thing that we do want to do is staff, please come back. And we've tried to capture as much of information presented tonight. Let's put together questions and responses, because Director Hill is correct and Mary Lucy is correct in certain instances. So we want to make sure that we are correcting information, because quite honestly, I'm not going to say a whole lot more, because I think this meeting has been quite an exceptional evening. We need to get back to a point where we can do this public's business in a professional, respectful manner. So I'm hoping that there is someone who is one of you will, or both of you will join me in giving staff that direction.
Yes, I agree. Staff should work diligently on the policies and procedures and get those in place as soon as possible and make sure that Alicia Laura is back on track with clear direction from the administrator.
Jim, you have any comment?
I think this is an example of a director acting unilaterally to direct staff, and it's gone on for, again, in my view, too long. So I would request to be informed, as I asked earlier, about issues at the district that I think I have a fundamental right as a director to know about, and I seem to have been excluded from that communication.
Okay. Very good. So I would say with that, we don't have any other items on our agenda. We are going to be adjourned for tonight.
Thank you.